Today's guest, the pit bull of personal development, Larry Winget. You're listening to the Eagles Talent Connection podcast. Eagles Talent Connection is a speakers and entertainment bureau to bring in the best and brightest talent for your next event. You can visit Eagles Talent Connection online at www.eaglestalent.com or call us at 1-800-345-5607. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Eagles Talent Connection podcast. I'm your host, Sheldon Senek. Whether you're joining us for the first time or a returning listener, welcome. Unless you've been hibernating over the past year, the news has been filled with stories of bankruptcy, foreclosures, and bailouts. For much of America, both on the corporate and domestic side, it's become a tale about survival or rebuilding. Our next guest has a real understanding about rebuilding from the ground up. He's not likely to mix words. As a matter of fact, he'll call something a spade when he thinks it's a spade, even if you don't think it's a spade. My guest today is Larry Winget. He's a best-selling author. He starred in his own television series, Big Spender, on A&E. He's known as the pit bull of personal development and the world's only irritational speaker. Larry Winget, welcome to the Eagles Talent Podcast. How you doing today?
I'm terrific. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure. You know, as my mother always said at the dinner table, let's dig in. Your latest book, People Are Idiots and I Can Prove It. First, if the title doesn't provide insight as to who you are, then I don't know what will. How has the reception of this new book been for you?
Well, it hit the New York Times bestseller list first week out, so that was a pretty good reception. You know, I think people respond so well to all of my titles, and all my titles are somewhat provocative and controversial, and some even say obnoxious and insulting, but that's okay. My titles get people's attention, and that's the first thing you have to do is get people's attention. Then, whether they like it or not, they're real hard to argue with. I mean, people are idiots, right, and anybody can prove it. It's not that hard, so they all say, man, I just wish I had the guts to say it. Thanks for saying it.
From the get-go, you lay it out. From the very beginning of this book, you know, People Are Idiots, in this book you cover health, parenting, and finance. Correct me if I'm wrong, but your viewpoint seems to me that being an idiot is more a result of people's actions.
Well, I think it's a result of their lack of actions regarding what they say they'd like to have. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a huge gap between what we say we want in our lives and what we actually do to make those things happen. We say we want health when our actions don't prove that at all. Mm-hmm. You know, we eat twice as many calories as we should. People are sedentary and don't exercise and sit on the in front of the television 6 hours a day. Mm-hmm. So while we say we want health, we don't do anything that makes us healthier. We still smoke, and every cigarette ends your life 13 minutes earlier. So there's a big contradiction in our actions and our words. And so what I've tried to do in this book was just point out that in every area of life and business, from health to business to customer service to finances to parenting, parenting's an easy one, every single area of life, what you say you want, you have to actually back up with correct action.
What I immediately connected with the parenting section, people say they want good public schools for the kids, and this is a quote from the book, yet only a small percentage of parents belong or attend PTA meetings or go to parent-teacher conferences.
Yep, and yet, and you can further back that up with the studies from the like the Parenting Association, that says the average parent only spends 3.5 minutes per week in meaningful conversation with their children. 3.5 minutes per week. So we say we love our kids, we say we want to have good kids, we say we want to be good parents, and yet we don't spend any time talking to them? Come on. In fact, you're going to love my next book. I'm working on it right now. It comes out in December, called Stop Raising Stupid Kids.
I think it's a title that's well needed in this society. It really is. You know, finances, talk about something that's relevant. Another quote here, people should keep their word to their credit card company. Because credit card companies keep their word, they are labeled predatory.
Yeah, and that's pretty much one of the problems we have right now. We call people, companies like that, predatory lenders, and yet big boys and girls sat down and were given contracts, and just because they didn't read them or didn't take the time to understand them or ask questions, or even when they did, they signed them, and then they didn't like the consequences of having that contract that they signed enforced. I'm sorry, it's not the company's fault.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that finances especially is an area of integrity more than it is money.
Mm-hmm.
When you say you're going to do something, whether it be make your house payment or your car payment or your credit card payment, and you sign your name saying you'll do it on a certain date, and you don't do it, regardless of what the circumstances are surrounding it, it's based more on a lack of integrity. People with no money still somehow figure out how to go out and do whatever it takes to scrape up enough money to at least call the people they owe money to, send some to them, and work out an arrangement. It's people who don't have integrity that don't do that. They just skip their bills because, I don't know, something else was more important to them. And they never adjust their lifestyle.
Speaking of, you know, all this, the financial problems that we're having, you know, the financial crisis, it's in the news. Every time we turn on the television, we open the newspaper, we look on the internet, it's there. And while there's a lot of focus on the nation's financial state, isn't there a connection between the national finance and our personal finance? And maybe the people who are irresponsible might have something to do with all this?
Well, see, my whole approach, in fact, I wrote a whole book about that called You're Broke Because You Want to Be, is a book and an approach that says it's all about personal responsibility. We got into the mess we are from a society based on a lack of personal responsibility. And just one thing led to another, and you stack all that irresponsibility on top of one another, and soon you have people who are buying more houses than they can afford and convincing people that they're making more money than they really do. And, you know, there are a lot of studies have been done about all of it, but I think it can pretty much always be tracked back to personal irresponsibility. And, you know, the fact that I am on television, when you said you can't open the newspaper or go on the internet or turn on the television, I thought you were going to say without seeing me.
That's true.
Because I'm the guy who goes on television almost every day of my life on all of these news programs, reminding people of their role in this mess and reminding people that just because they've gone through some inconvenience or that they view that it's society's problem or the government's problem, they still don't get to just not pay their bills or not take care of their obligations. Those are not choices. You have to do those things. Because why? You said you would. And so I really believe integrity, responsibility, honesty, all those things are the foundations of good business, good life, good finances, good parenting, all areas of life. And that's what I go back to. I'm kind of a one-trick pony. And my one-trick pony is personal responsibility, and I think your life's your own damn fault. And that's the way I approach it. Everything's your fault. You created it. Your thoughts, your words, your actions. And you must like it, otherwise you've done something about it.
Right. So you're talking about personal responsibility. What about companies and companies that are getting in financial trouble? How does that work out? And do you give them the same advice as you would give, let's say, a parent putting their family in debt?
You know, I think the same advice applies to companies as it does to people. You know, if you want to have more money, there's only two ways in the whole world to have more money. Only two. No exception to this. Only two. You got to spend less and earn more. That's it. Spend less and earn more. Now, if you're a business, what it means is you reduce your expenses and you increase your income. Same thing, spend less, earn more. So the principles for having more money work for businesses just like they do individuals. And the reason businesses get in trouble are the same reason people get in trouble. No cash reserves, which very few people have any savings on an individual basis. Average 50-year-old in America only has $2,500 saved.
Right.
That's ridiculous. It's absurd. It's disgusting.
You broke it down to what someone would make over those when they started when they're 25, and how much they would put away for per week and then per year. It wakes you up, I think. It must.
Yeah, it comes down to about $8 a month. You can't put away $8 a month. Come on. Anybody could do that. I don't care how little you have. You could do better than $8 a month. And the same thing applies to businesses. Businesses didn't save either. They didn't have cash reserves to fall back on. And businesses have to have the same rules. They have to follow the same fiscal financial rules as an individual does. And so pretty much the problem, financial problems, are the same across the board, personally and professionally. And you can't avoid them. And the ways to get out of those problems are the same way. You either have to work harder, and you have to cut back on your lifestyle, and you have to look at more ways to bring in more money. That's exactly what a business needs to do.
So having watched you on numerous news shows, talk shows, your blog, and your show Big Spender, you set this sign out in large font, and it says, you know, it seemed to say, I'm not a political guy, I'm not a business guy, I'm a regular guy who has experienced real problems before. And instantly, I think you set the course by telling people you're not alone and other people's experienced this problem. Do you think that people or companies that get into financial problems tend to isolate themselves and start to feed into this notion that no one understands their problem?
Well, I do think that they start getting to the place that they think no one understands their problems or that their problem is unique.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, if there's one thing I've discovered in dealing with people in their finances, no one's problem is unique. You get in trouble, all of them get into the trouble very, very same way.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do is I'm really not a finance guy. You know, I did a television show for 2 years to talk to people about their finances, and I am on television all the time. As you know, one of the networks calls me the guru, personal finance guru to the everyday man, which is right. That's what I do.
Right.
But all of my stuff is just about common sense. You cannot spend more money than you earn. If you do, you're an idiot. And you can't expect to be financially secure by spending more money than you earn. No one can do that. No individual can do that. No business can do that. If you give your word you're going to pay your creditors back, then pay them back. I don't care whether it's inconvenient or you have to work hard to do it or you have to lose sleep or you have to get 3 jobs to do it. None of those things matter. You do what it takes because you said you would do it. And so all the things that I talk about are common sense approaches. Another of the networks calls me the master of common sense. I appreciate that moniker probably the best because I think that's what we seem to lack the most right now.
Right.
Common sense, common knowledge, common courtesy, all of those things are anything in the world but common.
Right. So you're a successful author, speaker, television host. Looking back, were there seemed to be a lot of highs and probably lows to get there. Would you mind sharing some of that story and then maybe sharing also what kept you grounded along the way?
Well, I could be the poster child for stupidity. And everything that I cover in all of my books is, and I get a lot of criticism for this, actually. In fact, somebody wrote the other day on a review of my book, said, why would you want to listen to this guy? All he does is tell you everything in the world he's done wrong. And, yeah, but I also tell you what I did to get past that. I really could be the poster child for stupidity. I've done everything wrong. I screwed up a business and went bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up broke and went bankrupt. That's hard to do. I also got rich several times along the way. And, you know, I went from broke to bankrupt to multimillionaire. So I've kind of done all the things that I tell people they should do in their business and with their finances and with their kids and in their relationships. Across the board, I've been there where they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm, you know, I can write a book called Shut Up, Stop Whining and Get a Life. When people come to me with their financial troubles, I go, you know, I've been broker than you are. Move on. And so my approach really has always been, look at what you've done wrong. In fact, my whole approach to personal health, professional health, and financial health comes down to the old joke. Remember the old joke where the guy goes into the doctor and says, hey, doctor, it hurts when I do this?
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor says, well, then don't do that.
That's
my approach to this whole genre that I'm involved in right now. Figure out what you're doing that hurts and don't do that.
Right.
That's all I ever did in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
When I did something wrong, I went, man, that hurt. I probably shouldn't do that again. And that's pretty much the approach I take in the People Are Idiots book, right, is that people are doing things that hurt. They know it hurts. They know it's the wrong thing to do, and yet they continue to do it. Why are they doing that? And so if you want to fix your finance, you want to fix your business, you want to fix your personal life, pay attention. That's all you got to do. Pay attention. Figure out what's working. If it's working, in other words, if it's moving you closer to your goals, whatever your goals may be, then keep doing it. And if you're doing something that moves you farther away from your goals, stop doing that and do something else. Seems to me to be a very workable approach to fixing your problems and leading a more successful life. And I have been bankrupt, and I have made horrible mistakes, and I did lose a business. But I learned from all of those mistakes. And really, I think that's what people need to understand. Mistakes are okay. It's okay to be a disaster in any area of your life, as long as you pay attention, learn from it, and keep moving forward. Don't stop, wallow in it, whine about it. Don't do any of those things. Just keep moving forward.
I read in an interview that you did, and you were very influenced by Jim Rohn, is his name?
Jim Rohn.
Yeah. Okay.
Really, in my opinion, Jim Rohn was my biggest mentor, not in the business. It was long before I actually went into the business. It's just that he was a bit like me and just a common sense approach kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And I always loved his material and listened to it so many times. And he's the guy that did it for me.
Well, it's interesting. I see kind of a correlation between you and him. There's a quote that he has used, which is, "Why do liars lie? Because they're liars." And the frankness that seems to be in that quote, and certainly within you, there's a frankness and a way of putting a 2x4 right in front of you and saying, this is what it is.
Well, I take that as a compliment. I believe that people and society and businesses and individuals are just ready for someone to shoot them straight. Mm-hmm. And I think they're tired of all the rhetoric and all the typical motivational crap that people are trying to sell.
Right.
And the rose-colored glasses approach and telling you it's going to be okay and that we don't have problems, we only have opportunities. How stupid is that? I have problems. And the sooner I realize that I have problems, the more I'm able to go to work on them. I just think that people are ready for somebody to shoot them straight, tell them the truth, not mince any words, and talk to them like real people. And if that's what I'm known for, and it seems to be, and that I'm known as a guy who will shoot you straight and, you know, won't make up stuff along the way and will just tell you the truth even when it hurts, I appreciate that.
Well, what I like about what you do is some may call it a technique, but really it seems more like a philosophy.
Well, I don't believe in techniques.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are a lot of speakers and trainers and teachers and guys who write books and that everything they teach is technique-based. And technique-based teaching and tactical teaching says, if this happens, you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you almost learn all this stuff. It's like teaching somebody how to sell that says, when the customer says this, you say that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem is the customer never says this. And then you're stuck with all that. And so it doesn't work. And when you live your life on principles and you develop a philosophy of life, you don't have to keep up with as much.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to store all that information. You just know that in every situation, this is what you believe. And this is what you do when you're in any situation. And it doesn't matter. That's why I teach a philosophy of life mm-hmm. rather than a tactic about any area of life. You know, I've written about personal development. I've written about business and how to be successful in business. And, you know, I've spoken to 400 of the Fortune 500s. I pretty much am a business guy.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I've written about personal finance, and now I have a parenting book coming out. And yet it's a philosophy that I teach in all those books that is really pretty much one philosophy.
It doesn't seem like an accident, then, that there is this direct connection between personal development and, let's say, corporate development.
You know, the same thing it takes to be a great dad
mm-hmm.
is the same thing it takes to be a great leader.
Mm-hmm.
There's no difference, none. All the elements are the very same. So you can't say this is what you do in business and this is what you do when you get home. That's why people are confused all the time.
Right.
They're trying to do too many things. I taught my kids the same way I taught my employees. And I treated them pretty much the same. And it's the same way I actually deal with my dog. And it's the way I deal with myself.
Right.
You know, teaching is teaching. Standing up for something is the same no matter what it is you're standing up for. Right is right. There are no gray areas. There are no conditions. There are no special situations. You just train yourself to have a philosophy that says, I do the right thing based on what I believe in every situation, period. And you trust your gut, and you learn to make decisions, and you learn to set some goals, and those things work in, no matter what you're doing.
I think that Big Spender that was on an A&E, is it returning for another year? Or
nope, I'm done shooting that. I may do something else. I'm up for we're looking at a couple of different television opportunities, so we're going to expand that approach into some other areas rather than just people spending too much money.
The two biggest, greatest shows are probably Super Nanny and Big Spender, because it really, it's the same kind of concept where you have to put people there and say and tell them straightforward what it is that they're doing, and they sometimes just are unwilling to accept it, or until they're hit with this 2x4.
I'm sort of that. You keep going back to the 2x4, and I've said in the beginning of my books, I like that analogy. Mm-hmm. I am that proverbial 2x4 that has to hit you in the face sometimes.
Right.
I think you have to shake people up in order to wake them up. You have to make them uncomfortable. You have to hit them upside the head. I'm not the guy for everybody. Certainly I'm not for everybody. Some people actually do need, I guess, that warm and fuzzy approach that says, let me hold your hand, we'll sit around the campfire, we'll sing Kumbaya, and we'll make s'mores together, and we'll hope that the world turns around for you.
Right.
See, I'm the guy who says, are you kidding me? You deserve better than this. You're smarter than this. Stop being an idiot. Get control of your life. Take responsibility for your mistakes. Learn something and go to work. And I think that approach works better. But it's obviously not for everybody. And if it's not, that's fine. I don't try to convince anybody. You know, I'm not out to sell anybody on what I believe. I just do it, and those people who like that style, they're attracted to it. That's fine.
I'm going to make this correlation here. When I was watching some of these clips from Big Spender, I kind of thought of the Rocky movies.
Uh-huh.
And here's an example of Rocky cannot be a true champion until he faces his fears, or Adrian faces her fears head on. And it doesn't happen until that pivotal moment right before Rocky goes into the ring, and Adrian and Rocky are having this big argument of, what are you afraid of? And that's what I see with these people's faces. They're going through this pivotal moment of their life of they can turn right or they can turn left. And
I like to make people so uncomfortable that they have this significant emotional experience.
Mm-hmm.
I like for them to be able to tie emotion to their stupidity, because what I've discovered, when you have that moment where you really go, holy crap, I've been an idiot,
mm-hmm.
and you feel some remorse, and you're sorry, and you get emotional about it, and you shed a few tears. That's why I did this segment for A&E called I Like It When People Cry. And I do like it when people cry.
Right.
Because what I discovered on the television show with working with all those people who went, hey, you know, it's not really my fault. I mean, they keep sending out the credit cards. I just keep using them. It's not my fault. It's the credit card companies. I actually have people tell me that. Those people never really get better because it's never their fault. But the people who, like you said, have that pivotal moment, that significant emotional event, where they either feel remorse or they finally take responsibility, and they have that moment, those are the people who get better.
And with that uncomfortable moment, when they decide to make that change, it actually, it's something really interesting happens. It really becomes a moment where they may actually discover empowerment.
Oh, that's when I believe they totally become empowered. That's the moment when they realize, I can do this. I created the mess. I can fix the mess. And when you see that light go on in their eyes, you know it's going to be all right.
So I'm wondering, with Big Spender on A&E, and you're in the works for a new show, perhaps you can take corporations or the government to boot camp or something? Or, is that in the works, or you can't get away?
My approach when I give a speech to a corporate audience or something is a very similar approach. Mm-hmm. I mean, I smack around people pretty hard. It's done with a lot of humor, and you know, people think I'm a funny guy, and they you know, I have a style that I've been told is very engaging, and there's a lot of audience interaction and screaming and yelling. I mean, we have a great time doing it, but it does take people to task and make them face where they are, either in their business or in their personal life. So when I'm doing a corporate deal, yeah, it's sort of like going through a little corporate boot camp, only you only get an hour of me usually. But
not a whole weekend or 3 weeks.
No,
later, right?
Which I would love to do sometimes.
Right.
As far as taking the government to task, tune on any news channel any given night, and that's usually what I'm there doing.
Right. Okay, there's no doubt that you speak what's on your mind, and what I'd like to do is just mention some words or phrases, and you can, let's say you rant, because that seems to be what's in your book. So I'm going to mention some words. You just tell me what's on your mind about it.
All right.
Bailout.
Oh, my God, am I totally against every bailout. I am absolutely the most anti-bailout guy in the world. You know, we put a system in place many, many years ago that the government said, this is what happens when a company gets in trouble, and it's called bankruptcy. That's why we have a federal government-run bankruptcy court that says, if you're too stupid to run your company and you can't be profitable, we will step in, give you some time, some breathing room, and put people in who might be able to salvage this mess and protect their stockholders along the way. Instead, what are we doing? We've got people with a bad program, with a bad management model, who can't figure out how to run a profitable company. And what do? We just hand them more money so they can keep doing what they have been doing, which has been proven not to work. I can really rant about bailouts. Anti-bailouts.
Right. Credit cards.
Credit cards, a useful tool, but can be abused. And that's pretty much where we are. I believe credit cards are a useful tool, but they have to be used correctly. They, instead of being used correctly, they get abused. And people have taken advantage of credit card companies, in my opinion, by taking out too many and not keeping their word to them.
Employment.
Employment's not hard. I see people standing around saying, I don't have a job. The reason they don't have a job is because, one, they're not willing to work. Two, they got their ego in the way of what they need to be doing, ego in way of their responsibilities. They're not willing to take a job that they feel is beneath them. And believe me, if I got bills to pay, nothing is beneath me.
Right.
Nothing. I'll do whatever it takes. But employment is also something that you should respect. Once you have a job, you need to do what you're hired to do. That was the deal you made. Just because you don't feel good that day or you're not in a good mood that day, I don't care. If I'm paying you and I'm employing you, you do your job. That's it. That's what you're paid to do.
Do's and don't books.
I love do's and don't books. Every book I write's got a section at the end that says, do this, don't do that. So I think people respond well to, just tell me what I need to do.
Right.
I think that's the kind of thing that works the best right now, especially in crisis times. People say, just tell me what to do. And also, tell me exactly what I shouldn't do. And when they're in crisis, and that's the sad part, is people like do's and don't books most when they're in crisis.
Teamwork.
Load of crap. Really, it's the biggest waste of time in business today. Teams don't work. And the reason teams don't work is because somebody on your team isn't going to work, which means the team didn't do the work at all. It means a handful of competent, superstar individuals got the work done, while 20% of the people didn't do a damn thing. And yet, they are there to take the credit with the people who did the work. And so I am anti the whole idea of teamwork. We need groups of superstar individuals with a common goal who achieve something. And that's not a team.
I feel like I'm James Lipton in the actor studio. Okay, two more. The future.
Future looks bright. Especially for the people who will take control of their future. And the way you take control of the future is to take control of your present. The future just happens when you take control of your present. And finally, I'm starting to see people, and again, they got there because of crisis and total devastation in some cases. It doesn't matter how they got there. The point is they're there, that they're starting to take responsibility for their lives. They're starting to save. They're starting to spend more wisely. They're starting to take account of their finances. They're starting to finally understand how to government works and how the finances of our government, and they're realizing that their vote counts, and so they're paying more attention that way. They also realize that jobs aren't everywhere, so they better work on the one they've got, because if they lose it, there may not be another one down the road like it was in the past. So I think people who are taking responsibility finally can have a very bright future.
Well, you kind of took the last one out of my mouth, and I was going to say responsibility, and really that's a lot of what you're talking about. It really comes down to personal and corporate responsibility?
I would say, as I said when I began a while ago, that I am a one-trick pony, and my one-trick pony is built on the idea of responsibility. Mm-hmm. It's the number one step in all areas of success. You can never be successful until you first take responsibility for where you are, good or bad. So personal responsibility, corporate responsibility, responsibility is where it always starts.
Well, Larry, I cannot wait to see you again on TV ranting, and I will look for your new book. What was that title again?
Stop Raising Stupid Kids.
Stop Raising Stupid Kids. I love it. I love it. And we really appreciate having you on as a guest. And there's a reason why you are a very busy speaker.
Well, I appreciate that, and I've enjoyed it. Thanks so much. You were well prepared with great questions, and I had a good time on that word association
thing. Well, good. Well, I hope you'll join us again sometime in the future.
Happy to.
Larry, thank you very much. I really appreciate it again.
My pleasure.
If you're interested in acquiring more information about Larry Winget for your next event, contact Eagles Talent Connection online at www.eaglestalent.com or call us at 1-800-345-5607. My name is Sheldon Senek, and I've been your host for the Eagles Talent Connection podcast. If you'd like to leave any comments about the podcast, you can do so on our blog, and you can get to our blog two ways. Either visit us online at www.eaglestalent.com, or our direct blog address is www.speakersbureaublog.com. Thank you so much again for listening, and remember, keep America beating. This has been an Eagles Talent Connection production.